everybody's really hesitant to use this phrase, but I can hear a bunch of people who want to.
Must win?
Uh-huh.
Get out of here.
Talk to me.
Seriously, if you're using the phrase must win, then, and I don't want to say this to anybody individually because you're all out there and you're listeners and I love each and every one of you, you're an idiot.
Well, look.
It's not a must win because if they lose and you go to 1-2, and let's just say that Seattle also loses.
Okay.
And Arizona loses and the Rams, well, they wouldn't lose because they would beat you.
What if they don't, though? What if they win? What if Seattle wins? What if Arizona wins?
Okay. Then you're 2 games back with 14 to play. Right. It's not a must win.
What if I asked you this? What is it then? And I don't mean like let's label the win. Like here's how I'd answer it. You're right. It's not a must win. But here's what it is. If they lose, it's a problem. It's a problem.
It's a small problem if they lose.
You've got New England up next. A medium problem, which I know after last night, now we've decided that's going to be an easy game. But things...
It's not an easy game, but just a quick aside,
sure.
10 seconds, and we'll fade the dibbers later. And yeah, I'll tell you this.
Nice pick last night.
Bad pick. And I said this on the thread. And from the moment I
said
I made
it on the
pick,
air.
And, well, and actually, I got a text from my good friend Baltimore Joe.
Okay.
And as I was making the pick, he said, Don't take the Patriots.
Don't take the Patriots.
And so after I made the pick and you guys all laughed at me and I looked at my phone, I was like, you know what? That's probably a bad pick. And I'm driving home and Greg the Leg missed a field goal and it's 14-3. And I'm thinking, you know what? It's not a good pick, but I might actually find my way into, no.
Dude.
And then Aaron comes out and 21-3. And I thought, you know what? It's a bad pick. And then I thought about it yesterday and whatever, I had other action that actually paid off in fantasy football. I liked what happened and all the rest of it. And I woke up this morning and I thought, you know what? I need to look at my process because I don't always have to pick a side. I can pick a total. I can, you know, whatever. It's fade the dibber.
Well, that's kind of the way we've set it up. You do it for a primetime game. You pick the game.
I could pick an over-under, though, in the game. I'm not going to pick a prop.
Is that true, Grandy? I don't know. Look at the rule book. What did we say on fade the dibbers for primetime games?
I think he could make any bet.
Okay.
I thought that it was spread or total. I'm not going to pick, like, for example, one bet that I do.
Under Ramondre Stevenson yards.
I love it.
We're not going to let you pick a prop that's like -400 to hit.
Somewhere around even.
And I love that. And I will say this. I was on the Ramondre Stevenson. I say it wrong every time. I was on his under yards on Prize Picks. Thank you, Guru, for the promo code, Guru957. But I thought that I could pick... Either the side or the total.
You can do whatever you want.
Well, I'll say this.
We're fun people around here.
My pick in the Niner game has changed.
Oh.
That's all I'm going to say.
Well, that's a nice tease.
Based on today's news and my process, the pick done changed. But anyway, that was too many sides to what we were talking about.
No, that's fine. And again, for those of you who want to hear that, we'll do that a little bit closer to 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
But it's a problem. It's a problem if the 49ers lose this game.
Agreed.
No, it doesn't mean the season is over. They don't have to win. And I would want to know more about how they... That's not how we always do it, right? It's like, well, wait a minute. How'd they lose? Did they lose 31-30? Or did they lose 6-4? Like, what...
If they lose 34-3.
Probably not, but...
No, yeah. But if you want to talk about, like...
Yeah.
That, I think, is a bigger thing. And I also want to lean on what happened a couple years ago when they started the year 3-5.
Yep.
And then they still went to the NFC Championship game. So if you go to 1-2... This is not a must-win, and if you think it's a must-win, that's a you problem.
That year, though, I know we love to reference it, but that's not the way. Like, don't do it that way.
That's not the blueprint, of course.
That season had at least 3 or 4 moments where you're like, if this doesn't go their way, it's cooked, including the final drive in L.A. in the regular season.
Yep.
Where Jimmy Garoppolo, legend has it, actually threw the ball downfield, and it was caught by people on his team, and they went on a game-winning drive, and they won.
In overtime, they won
the thing. So, like, but you don't want to do it that way. Not this team.
You'd rather not.
You know what I mean? But I get it. They're less dynamic right now, but the bottom line for me on this one is that you're very likely, if the Niners lose Sunday, you're very likely to come out with significant concerns about at least one portion of the field. That's the way I'll say it. Because if they do, if the offense can't function, then I'm wrong, and all of these things are now, all of the things people have said are going to be true. Because the Rams don't have a great defense, and this is the Niners' south. This is their house. So what's the reasoning for going down there and you can't move the ball? Like what? And if the Rams, with no offensive line and no receivers, if they move the ball up and down the field on you, well, what the hell is this defense? What are we doing? So I got to see how it looks, but that'd be my guess. Niners lose this game, you're going to show up on Monday with significant concerns about one side of the ball, if not both.
Fair, but still, you look at it, and if you have any rationale or if you're at all a reasonable human being, you can look at it and say, all right, you still have 14 more of these, and I'm thinking about the year that I referenced where they went 3-5, and I just pulled up the box score for my own mental reference. They lost to Arizona to fall to 3-5, and that game was at Levi Stadium.
And it was embarrassing.
Arizona 31, San Francisco 17. What Colt that? McCoy.
Colt McCoy, yeah.
22 of 26.
And who's my man that got trucked at the goal line? He was on the Niners for like just that year. He's a corner and got absolutely obliterated like pancakes.
Was it Josh Norman?
No, it wasn't Josh Norman. Darn it. I'll look it up. Anyway.
I'm just looking at the
Look at the box score.
I'm looking at the box score right here, and it was James Conner. I'm looking for James Conner, who had three touchdowns, two on the ground, one via the air, and Jimmy Garoppolo threw for 326. He got sacked five times, and you lose to Arizona to fall to 3-5.
What year was this? 21?
2021.
Okay.
Was it Dre Kirkpatrick?
Thank you. Dre Kirkpatrick. And who was the nice running back on the Cardinals?
Eno Benjamin.
Eno Benjamin.
Yeah, that great Eno Benjamin.
Absolutely trucked him. The Niners were embarrassed in that game. They
right.
were awful.
Right.
They were awful in
and
that game.
At that point, at 3-5, we all were outraged at the state of the team and this and that. And then and they would go on to win seven of their last nine in the regular year.
You remember the next Monday night, and Kyle has admitted this, the following Monday night, if the Niners lose and Garoppolo did not perform well, that was a wrap.
Yep.
Trey Lance gets the gig. They were 3-6. Remember who they were playing?
The Rams.
The Los Angeles Rams. Yep. Jimmy only threw for 182 yards.
Balled out.
But the Niners won by 21.
Quarterback rating of 141.7.
That's good.
That's very good.
That's very, very good. Yeah.
No answer for Elijah Mitchell.
Jimmy Garoppolo, 15-19, 182, two tuds, no picks.
That's my point, is not to, praise Jimmy Garoppolo for a 15 of 19 performance, but to just remind everyone that this is week three, so it's not a must win. Yes, you should beat the Rams, and you should have beaten Arizona that year where you fell to 3-5, and I'm just checking the notes. You were favored by 3.5. Arizona was actually pretty good that year, but you should have won that game. You should win this game, but if you don't, it's not time to panic.
I don't know that yet.
I do. Maybe because I'm just a little bit more mature and a little bit more wise than the majority of you.
No, because you don't know what it looks like. Like, what's the definition of panic? I didn't say it's time to panic about the standings, but I can panic about the way. Like, if the defense gets shredded by this offense, I can panic. Yes, I can.
You're allowed to.
Yes.
But I wouldn't. I mean,
why not?
Because there are adjustments that can be made with 14 games left to go.
I mean, that's always true.
And when you get seven teams that make the playoffs at 1-2, you're still very much in the picture.
Yeah,
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
I can honestly say that the 49ers are not built for what you're talking about. Like, this is not, my expectations are not going to change that fast to the point where I can just wrap my head around, well, let's see if we could sneak in. I thought this was Super Bowl or bust, for goodness sakes.
Well, it is.
And I understand that they got a lot of injuries, but I'm not adjusting my expectations three games into the season to be like, yeah, it's fine. They're 1-2. Let's see if they can, scratch out nine or 10 wins in a wild card. No, No, this team's way too good for that.
But if you scratch out 9 or 10 wins in a wild card, and McCaffrey's healthy, and Debo's healthy, and Kittle's healthy, and all three of those guys are going to be healthy at the end of a, let's say they go 8-8-1, and that's good enough. And I love the tie.
You want that 8, tie 8, so
and
bad.
1, and that's good enough to get you a wild card somehow, well, some way. But all those guys are healthy, then they're going to be a tough out.
Yeah, I don't want them to be a tough out. Like,
it's Super Bowl or bust no matter what.
If that's what you get, that's what you get, and that's what you root for. But it's way too early for me to start thinking about that being okay. Like, my gosh, look at this roster. I understand that there are some injuries, but look at the other roster. This is a dreadful football team they're playing. Dreadful.
That's a little strong.
It's not.
I think it's a little strong.
The Arizona Cardinals flicked this team off the field in 5 minutes, the game was over.
Well, Arizona's over. Better than you thought.
Arizona.
You can give Arizona their flowers through two games because they're better than you thought.
A kid in his second NFL game ran the Rams off the field in 5 minutes last week. Five.
He's a first-round pick.
I understand that. He had...
Some think that he's going to be the next great wide receiver.
And some
and he's
think,
on the Hall of Fame track.
And some know that... No, he's not. He has 5 career catches in the league. His first game was 1 catch for 4 yards, and he was one of the lowest separators in the entire league. So,
if you project out his 2 week stats with touchdowns, he's on pace for 385 touchdowns for his career.
How about catches? Catches. He's got 5 in 2 games. He's on pace for about 38 catches this year.
All he does is score touchdowns. So when you're that good, you don't need catches. Okay. You just score touchdowns.
All right, let's go to Fred in Richmond. Hi, Fred. What's cooking in your world?
Oh, man, just got off work, man, listening to the show, and a huge fan. I just think as a Niners fan, I'm not panicking. I'm not worried. I mean, the Rams are depleted right now. I would have a little panic just because of it being a divisional game. If the Niners was to lose, I just can't see that. Like, I understand any given Sunday, but I just can't see that. I believe that Brock Purdy is just going to keep flicking that ball, get it to Brandon Ayuk. Mason continues to stay on his high journey. And the Niners come out with a 31-10 victory. The defense should really annihilate the Rams. Like I said, again, it's a divisional game. Leonard Floyd should probably just be all over Matthew Stafford due to the fact they were teammates not too long ago. But I'm not panicking. The Niners still a Super Bowl or bust in my eyeballs because it's only week 3. And, I mean, nobody played in the preseason. So this is the new NBA parody. You know how it is in the NBA, load management. Kittle, if it was a playoff game, Kittle might play. I'm pretty sure he would play.
Oh.
So, I mean, fall back. Nick Wright he need clickbait. That dude knows nothing. I mean, I never heard him say nothing about Kansas City before Patrick Mahomes. He wasn't screaming Alex Smith, but, you know, that's for another show. Thanks for having me on, y'all.
Thanks, Fred.
Right.
Appreciate
on, Fred.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, look, I want to make sure this is very clear. I really, really, I'm excited for Brock Purdy's opportunity. I expect him to still play very well. I don't need it to be sparkly. I don't need it to be statistically driven. I need him to play well. Like, don't turn the ball over and move the ball. Doesn't need to be 30 points. I have no rules here. Just play well and take that opportunity. At the same time, and I'll be here Monday to take my L if I'm wrong. There are no excuses. Like, that's what I won't do. That would be totally disingenuous for me to say I expect him to play well and then show up Monday and be like, well, he didn't have half of his players. No. No. If I'm going to sit here and say this guy's a good quarterback, he's got to be a good quarterback.
Exactly.
And if I'm going to say this guy's a great play caller, then he needs to be a great play caller. And yes, you can do that with Chris Conley. Yes, you can. He's been in the NFL for a long time. And by the way, he's not even option 1 or 2, you know? Just got asked by one of our really, really good listeners on YouTube, Chicago Jason, about Brock being with receivers that he doesn't have a lot of rapport with because Brandon's not really, like, up to speed, and then the rest of the guys are new. I'm like, I don't feel like that's what's happening here. First of all, it's time for Brandon to be up to speed. It's week 3, and you showed up for the final week of camp. So that means you have been running around playing football now for a month, almost. Like, time to be up to speed, number one. Number two, Juwan Jennings, not new. Number three, Chris Conley, not terribly new.
Not new at all.
And even if you want to move down to the rookie, who is a rookie, but you've been playing with him for all camp, in Jacob Cowing, Saubert, like, sure, it's not going to look the same, but I don't want to bake in any excuses to this. It's still a group, to me, that Brock and the 49ers as a group should be able to use to move the ball.
There are no excuses.
None.
In the NFL, ever. And, you know, you go out there and you line up and you're going to have 11 guys on your offense. I'm pretty sure that they're still going to have 11 guys out there. And you go out there and you play. This is different than an NBA game where you have Steph and Clay and Draymond all out for load management and whatnot. And you're playing the third game in four nights on the road. Okay, you might lose to Orlando or New Orleans or whatever team that you're gonna play against. Who cares? There's 82 of them. It doesn't really matter. In football, you got 17 of them. There are no excuses. You've got a quarterback who was top five in the MVP voting last year, and he is healthy. And you've got an offensive coordinator and a head coach that I'm being told is one of two coaches that everyone would want in the NFL, and he's not hurt, I don't believe. So you have a top five MVP candidate quarterback. You've got one of the best coaches outside of Andy Reid in football. You've got an all-pro in Brandon Ayuk. You've got a Hall of Fame left tackle. There are no excuses. You're going up against a team that has as many, if not more, injuries than you do.
There's the point. Here's the way I look at it. If we stop thinking about who's not going to be there, let's just think about who is. Who's got the better football team on Sunday? It's not even close. It's not even close.
Well, even if it was close, you've got a quarterback who everybody's telling me is $60 million a year, and you've got a head coach who everyone's telling me is the best thing this side of Andy Reid.
Both teams have good coaches, and both teams have good quarterbacks.
Sure.
So, and I actually would argue that both teams have a very like workable young running back. Both teams. But let's leave there. Now where do we go? You know, who's got the better receivers? Clearly the 49ers have more accomplished receivers with no Puka and no Cooper. Just the fact that Brandon Ayuk is there means the Niners get the edge in receivers. Who's got the better offensive line? Not even close. Who's got the better defense? Shouldn't even be close.
Yeah.
That's what I like. If you really want to get nerdy with me, that's where my mind goes in this game. The defense should be amazing. We got a new staff, and we're feeling a little some type of way about it after some of the stuff that we watched last week. We've already got a very public set of criticisms to go toward Nick Sorensen because of the way he set up the defense on the Justin Jefferson 97-yard touchdown. Now, that's one play. I'm not going to make a decision on a D coordinator based on that. But you've got new personnel. You've got a new staff. And this is the type of game that you should look great in. And you've done it to this team many, many times in the past. The Niners largely have had Matt Stafford's number when they play the Los Angeles Rams. So that's my deal. The Rams should not get to 16 or 17 points. They should not.
Agreed. And if you look at pressure rate in the NFL, Brock Purdy's been pressured on 29% of dropbacks, which is fifth most in the NFL. Stafford is at 31%, which is fourth most in the NFL. He's missing three offensive linemen. The Niners aren't missing any offensive linemen. And the Niners have this defense that we all want to talk about. Nick Bosa, and he had a good game, I think, against Minnesota with two sacks. And Leonard Floyd, we're still waiting for him to really wreck a game. And Javon Hargrave in the middle of the defensive line, we're looking for him to wreck a game. This is one, and I agree with you, where the D-line in particular should be able to feast against an offensive line that's missing three starters and an offensive package that doesn't have the two top wideouts on their team and two of the top, I'd say, 20 receivers in football, maybe even two of the top 15.
Yeah.
And they're both going to be out. So go ahead and key up on the run. Make sure that Kyren Williams doesn't beat you on the ground and go ahead and feast on Matthew Stafford at 36 years of age in a game that won't be a hostile environment.
If you're just joining us, go ahead and add George Kittle to the list. So there's no Debo, there's no Christian, and now there is no George Kittle. He's been listed as doubtful. That means he's almost assuredly not to play. And it's interesting to get that news the day after you and I spoke to Jay Gruden, who said this.
I'd be more concerned about George Kittle than anybody. I think George Kittle makes that offense what it is. He is the best blocking tight end and receiving tight end combination there is. And if you look around the league, not many teams have a blocking tight end like George Kittle that can go out and run pass routes and break tackles like he does. They're almost non-existent right now. I think he's the most valuable player on the team. Personally, I love Trent. I love Brock. I love Debo. But George Kittle is a monster. If he's not in there, I don't know what they're going to do. So you got to figure out ways to get another tight end in there and continue to hit people with Mason in the running game so your play actions are there on first and second down, and then on third down, do the best you can and protect the quarterback and try to get through this game and try to win it probably by a field goal or whatever.
Quote, if he's not there, I don't know what they're going to do. And I haven't heard many people talk about this. We hear George Kittle go out, and our mind immediately goes to, oh, Purdy lost another weapon. You know who this is the worst news for? Is J.P. Mason. That's who this is the worst news for. Because that's who the 49ers could, you would think, lean on in a game like this. That game that you brought up when the Niners beat the Rams on Monday night in 2021.
Yep.
Go look at the splits in terms of pass attempts versus rushes. 19 times they threw the ball. 44. They ran the ball. Now, that was Jimmy's Niners. This is Brock's, and it's different. But if Mason is running downhill the way he has in the first two games, of course you would lean on that more. But there's no George Kittle, and I do really wonder what it's going to look like. I know it's not a hostile environment, but it is the road, and it will be loud. And some of the young guys on the line, Dominic Pooney, they struggled with that last week. Jake Brendel has not had a very good start to the year. Trent is there. That's great. But that's the other thing that I want to look at. You know what I mean? And Brock's life will be made easier, by the way, if the defense plays the way we think it can and if Mason is running the ball the way he has.
Yeah, go ahead and win the time of possession, which we've talked about over the last 2 years. When they win the TOP battle, they're 20-4. So that is, for me, the ultimate formula. Like you said, in the other game we referenced, 2021 against the Rams, you didn't throw it a lot. You ran it, and I think you said 40 times. Yeah, 44 times. 44 times on the ground, and I'm looking at it. Jeff Wilson, Debo got 5, Elijah 27 for 91,
yep,
which is not what you would call a completely dominant game, but he did enough to keep the ball in the hands of the quarterback, and so that for me becomes the formula yet again, but it is made harder by the fact that you don't have George Kittle in that run blocking, and so Eric Saubert's going to have to play more than he's played so far in his young Niner career, and Jake Tonjes, if he gets the call at the other tight end, and you know the other real X factor, I think, in this game is Kyle Juszczyk, and Juszczyk's been used a lot this year in a second tight end role where it's classically 21 personnel, 2 running backs, but with Jordan Mason, they don't run a lot of I formation with Juszczyk in front of Mason, so I would imagine that Juszczyk snaps go up and that he's used as a second tight end in many formations.
All right.